It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading with the 34th verse, Romans 11, 34. And so please that you would open your Bibles and we'll study and finish out the chapter 11 and get on into chapter 12. So please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 11, verse 34. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. That's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you would like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717 is the phone number. If you'd like to check our website out, I would appreciate that. We have many good studies there for you to come to know the Lord Jesus and also to grow in the Lord Jesus. And it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 11, beginning to read with verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What wonderful verses of Scripture. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come together and just enjoy this time. Please that you'll just touch every heart, just every heart, Father. Just if they're lost and they need salvation, please that they would come today. And then once you have enjoyed salvation that was given to you as a free gift from God as you called upon him, then to walk, Father, with you. And we always fall short of this 12th verse in being the living sacrifice that we should be. But please give us the strength and the wisdom and the power. Speak to all of our hearts now as we enjoy this study today. And guide and lead us, dear Lord, please, with your Spirit, that he would lead us through these words. And once again, bring people to salvation and also grow us in your way and your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we were together, we finished with a quote from Job chapter 41, verse 11, which is exactly what this is here in verse 34. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath made his counselors? Who hath first given him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? And so we're going to go back to Job and read that so that you can see that. But I'm going to back up first and read Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And then it begins, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? You know, the depth both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We can't imagine his strength and his power and his strength. And we just need to trust in him and walk with him. And what a glorious time that is and will continue to be. Please, let's go back to Job now. Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41, and we're going to look at the 11th verse. And once again, just as we've just read, who hath prevented me that I should repay him. Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine, the scripture says. And again, that's where Paul here stated in verse 34 much of the same words. We must be by faith. Everything must be by faith. Back in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. By faith. Come to the Lord Jesus. Trust in him and walk by faith and enjoy this wonderful life and the life that is to come. The just shall live by faith. Faith accepts what God says. Why? Because God said it. It's that simple. We need to believe it. We need to walk by it. We need to enjoy it. Faith accepts what God promises. So whatever God's word tells us, faith makes it real to us, knowing it's true, knowing it's right. And understand that it is without feeling. So many today, everything is by their emotions. You know, I've known churches that have certain kind of music that they play so that, boy, you can just get to feeling good. Well, as soon as the music shut off, you don't feel good anymore. My walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is not set up on some music or some feeling or some seeing, because it's without seeing. It's also without tasting. It's also without touching. Faith accepts what God promises without these things, without the feeling, the seeing, the tasting, the touching. It's by faith. We can't see it. We can't touch it. We can't feel it. We can't taste it. We believe it. How can, you know, you can say to me, how can you believe something that you can't see? By faith. And you see, it's a faith that God has given me when I trusted in him as my Savior. He gave me this faith. He gave me salvation. The Holy Spirit showed me I was a rotten, filthy sinner, and I needed to be saved. And then he introduced me to my wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after he has introduced me to the Lord Jesus, and I have come by faith, he has given me that faith. See, it's all God's doing, but we must turn to him. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's a turning to him. It's not something that just happens. It is something that you do, and it's a time you'll never forget. So please, faith, that's where it's all about. When God says it, it's true. And so please understand that. And as we look here, we find in that verse 33 that it speaks of something that is unsearchable, and we could put untrackable. Faith walks with God day and night. Faith never questions God. So see, when we question God, then we're not walking by faith anymore. He said, well, I'm not going to do anything blindly. You don't. Because, my dear friend, when you've got the Spirit of God in your heart, oh, it's just such a joy to walk with him and to follow his precious word. And the wisdom and the power and the strength that he gives is just beyond measure. Please trust in him today and walk with him. Again, it's unsearchable, untrackable. Men have the ability, and today they have satellites or rockets that they've sent up years ago. And those rockets are still sending back information as it goes into outer space and checks this planet out and that planet out. And it's unbelievable what man has been able to do. But man can track that rocket. He can track it, send stuff back, information back, and track it. Man can do that. But he cannot track God. You can't do it. He's unsearchable. And yet, without question, he is real. He is God. His Son, Jesus, created this whole world. Jesus came to here, came to this earth as our Messiah, saved us. What a glorious day it is. You know, God's mercy, you know, number one, he's unsearchable. But his mercy comes to us. His faith comes to us. The Spirit of God in the third person of the Trinity comes and lives within our hearts. I know he's real. I know I can trust him. I praise him so much for the wisdom and the understanding he gives me. It is so wonderful to walk each day with him. God's mercy is extended to a hell-deserving sinner. And it comes through the sacrificial death of Jesus upon the cross. And we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Please call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Trust in him today. Walk with him today. Please. It is so important that you come and you walk by faith. We look at this verse 36 now, and it's kind of all summed up. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. All summed up. It's summed up in those precious words, of him are all things. We can include the through him and to him, yes. But it tells us so clearly in those few words, for of him are all things. You can ignore the Lord Jesus. You can ignore God, say you don't believe him. But he is everything. If it not be for him, you could not speak, you could not breathe, nothing would grow, we would have nothing, we would not exist if it wasn't for our God that put everything in place and then locked it into place. It is tremendous, it's unbelievable, it's wonderful. How can I believe it? Because I believe it by faith, and I know it to be true because the Spirit of God lives within my heart. I know it to be right. I know it to be true. So it's all summed up, these glorious, wonderful words. It's all summed up. By faith, please, come to know the Lord Jesus and walk with the Lord Jesus. Verse 12, verse 1 of chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's quite a verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, the Scripture tells us. Reasonable service. Let's kind of take our time here just a little bit, and let's look at those words, I beseech you. And it is literally, I beg you. I beg you with great earnestness. It is as if God is begging. Isn't that something? How the Creator of the world, Jehovah, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but He begs us because He wants us to receive our full blessings. He wants us to voluntarily praise Him and honor Him. He doesn't force us to our knees and then put some kind of pressure upon us so that we will praise His name. No, He does it. He gives it to us in such a great gift. It's His mercy, His precious mercy. But He loves us so much, He wants us to have the full joy of life here and hereafter. And the only way that can come, you can buy the world. You can have the biggest car, the greatest house, the largest bank account. You can have the so-called bestest friends you can ever find, and you will never have the joy that you can have when you come by faith to Jesus Christ and are saved, born again, and then you begin to walk with Him, and you begin to serve Him, you begin to listen to Him as you should, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, that's surrendering to Him. Again, the full blessings cannot come unless we surrender or yield our soul, spirit, and body unto the Lord. Surrender to Him. It's nothing but for your good, for your advantage, not for you're going to receive such great blessings because you're going to be praising God with your life, praising God with your voice. And it's we can't fathom the blessings He wants to pour upon us. It may be in wealth, it may not. It may be in peace, and I know it'll be peace and joy because we're promised that. When we surrender to Him, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Oh, can you imagine knowing someone? Can you imagine being married to someone that's like that? Can you imagine going to work and all your workers that are around you are that way? Full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Now, that doesn't mean that they're you know, no voice and don't stand up for themselves, because you do. You stand with boldness. You speak with boldness. But when you speak with boldness, yet from love, that is where the difference comes in. Because we need to trust in the Lord Jesus, and He will give us the strength and the wisdom. You know, Jesus, when He went into the porches of the temple there and He saw the money changers and all the things that they were doing, He didn't say, "Oh my, this is sad." He upset the tables. He run them out. And that's the boldness we should have. And He did it with power and strength. He did it with love. Now, how can you say run them out with love? There's ways of bringing forth God's power and strength. There are times to be angry. Only with righteous indignation that we can come forth and stand and proclaim the truth, and sometimes watch the world step all over us. But there's a peace and a joy in our heart that the world can't have, and they can't understand how we have it. Well, we have it because we've come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, a full blessing cannot come till we fully surrender or yield our soul, spirit, and body. Scripture says here in verse 12, "Therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, therefore brings us back to the last chapters, reminding us of such a glorious salvation that he has given us, and how that he is full of mercy and full of kindness and joy to give us. And he is the God of everything. We're to remember that. That's the reason for that word, therefore. It brings us back together with it. You see, salvation is already paid for. It's paid for by the finished work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. It's finished. It's done. The finished work of Christ. It was done upon Calvary, upon the cross, on Mount Calvary. He shed his blood, he died, and he rose again 3 days later. It's a finished work of salvation. So you see, we don't do this. We don't surrender our bodies as a living sacrifice to be saved. We do it to praise and honor our God, that he is able to bless us and use us in a mighty way to glorify him, not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify him. This begging here, this beseeching, beseech you therefore, brethren. Again, the word is brethren. This isn't for the lost. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're missing it. Oh, you're missing it. You need to come by faith. You know, what are you going to do to me if I don't come? I'm not going to do a thing except for continue to beg you to come. I want you to come. I want you to have the joy. I want you to have the blessings. I want you to experience the mercy of God. But if you choose not to, that's your choice. That's your choice. And you'll never have peace or joy. You know, you'll have it temporarily. You're doing this and buy this or get this, but it's short-lived. It's so short-lived, and it'll always be. But when it comes from God and his mercy and his strength that he shows us, it's everlasting. It doesn't come or go. It is eternal. And what a joy that we have to walk with the Lord Jesus. And so the begging here, the beseeching, is with the brethren, not with the lost. And again, notice how it comes. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's the only reason that we have anything. It's by the mercies of God. That's how. That's the only way. By God's precious mercy. The word next, as we kind of take this verse apart, and then we'll do it all again. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, ties in the chapter before. Brethren speaks of who we're talking about. Now, by the mercy of God, that's how it all comes, that ye present. You see, we can't do anything without the power of God delivering us, taking care of it for us. It's the only way. This word present is the same as you would bring something, an offering or a sacrifice, unto the temple before God. It is coming to present. And so if you were to bring your first fruits and you would bring them unto God, unto the altar, you're presenting them, you're bringing them. Well, in this case, it's not something. It's not an offering or a sacrifice that we can hold in our hands. It is our bodies. It is our bodies that we need to present as a living sacrifice. And that's body, soul, and spirit. That's not just the body. That's not just the soul. That's not body, soul, and spirit, as the scripture tells us here. And so, once again, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. By the mercy. That's the only way, by God's mercy. The bodies that is talking about here is speaking under the terms of the whole man. And so we've looked at beseech, we've looked at the therefore, the brethren, the mercy is the way it's the only way it comes, and to present, we've talked about that, and now the bodies. The bodies here, again, is a term for the whole man, soul, spirit, and body. Some make the statement that I will die for my Savior, for the Lord Jesus. Well, that's fine. But I believe the word here tells us that we are to live for Him. He wants us to live for Him. We're going to bring great honor to Him by living for Him. Yes, if we are to the place that we are to die for Him, we will die for Him. But He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to be a living testimony of our Savior in us. A living sacrifice. So we have the bodies, and now we have the living sacrifice. Once again, the old covenant, they would bring something that's harvested, the grain. It had been harvested. The sacrifice, the lamb, the oxen, the dove, whatever offering or sacrifice they would bring, when they would bring and present it, that offering or sacrifice was put to death. Well, we are the altar has been cleansed, clean, that we no longer bring an offering, something that's dead to bring to Him, because Jesus completed and fulfilled the law when He died upon Calvary. What a glorious day when He completed everything. And the old the law of the Jews, Moses, all that was completed. And we have walked into the day of grace, the age of the church, the dispensation, the time period of grace. That's what we're in right now. And being there, we no longer physically carry with our hands an offering or a sacrifice. We do bring our tithes and offerings into the Lord's house, but that is a result of our heart. We don't do that because we're under the law or under the rule to do it. We do it because we want to, because our heart is right. And so, this living sacrifice, under the old covenant, it was a dead sacrifice. God now, since the Lord Jesus had died and paid that debt, He wants a living sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. It says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." You see, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we've been made alive. What a glorious day. We have been made alive. What a joy. What a joy. If and when we surrender our lives unto the Lord Jesus Christ, when that takes place, the Word of God tells us that's just our reasonable service. That's not anything extended. It's just our reasonable service. So we need to be giving our reasonable service unto the Lord. We're just about out of time, but let's go ahead and take a look at verse 2. Because that's what God wants, is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. But verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world." See, that's the opposite side, that we play the games of the world, we listen to the world, and so sad to say that most churches have left the Word of God. They don't preach the Word of God. They don't tell people how to be born again or saved. They have come up with a social gospel that just makes everyone feel good. Well, if you do, then there's no transforming by the renewing of your mind, because the Spirit of God is within your heart. None of that takes place. Most have conformed themselves to this world, and it didn't take much effort to do that. We are not to conform ourselves to this world. We are to separate ourselves from the world. Conform means to fashion. We are not to fashion ourselves. Now, we're going to begin with some verses of Scripture here with this second verse, but that'll have to wait till next time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?